So welcome to our special missions and ministry Sunday. We've already featured some of missions and what we're doing, and I'm praying this morning that some here today, in a very definitive, supernatural way, will receive and respond to the calling of today's message, and that the trajectory of lives and places may be changed. My title comes from a verse from our 1 Corinthians series in chapter 9, verse 16, compelled to preach. So if you're able, would you stand with me just as we read two short verses and then get into this morning. But 1 Corinthians 9, 16, you should recognize from our series, and then we're also going to read Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 13. But 1 Corinthians 9, 16, Paul says, "For when I preach the gospel, I cannot boast, since I am compelled to preach. Woe to me if I do not preach the gospel." Ephesians 4, verses 11 through 13. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers to equip his people for works of service, so that the body of Christ might be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of God. Amen. You may be seated. So here's the concern behind this morning's message. That is that fewer and fewer people are hearing or heeding the call of God to give their lives to full-time vocational ministry or missions. And I'll get into some of the reasons why and some potential solutions in a second. But first, it's vitally important to note one thing. Okay, so hear this. We are all called to a life of ministry, right? And we can all be ministers in our daily lives and the situations God has called us to be in. Our text this morning clearly says that the job of those called into vocational ministry is actually to equip the others for works of ministry and service in their daily lives, no matter what they do, right? So Ephesians 4 says, Christ gave these spiritual leaders to equip his people, that's all of us, for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up. Right, so a spiritual leader's job isn't to do all the ministry, right? It's actually to equip others to do ministry, to unlock their imagination of how God wants to be a part of their everyday life and use them, as we talked about last week, for the glory of God and the good of others. And there's been a massive emphasis over the last few decades, which has been extremely healthy, about understanding that all of life is worship. All of our vocations are sacred, and we all have a ministry and calling. So yes, we want God calling people to be teachers and doctors and tradespeople and artists and artisans and public servants and politicians and stay-at-home parents and builders and engineers and academics and carpenters and caregivers and hospitality workers, mechanics, and on we could go. There is no sacred or secular divide. We need Christians called and equipped in all of these sectors and vocations, and we're all responsible to answer God's call in whatever passions God has put on our heart. And we do and we will spend lots of time and energy here at Oceanside teaching this idea and encouraging people in the work God has called them to and helping them see their how their work can intersect with the heart of God and the kingdom of God. We're passionate about that. However, as can often happen, the pendulum can sometimes swing too far in the other way. And as we've emphasized the holiness and the sacredness of all callings, we've maybe not emphasized or encouraged enough the specific call to give one's life to God's church in a formal, dedicated, vocational way. And the result is that we are facing actually a major shortage of spiritual leaders and missionaries and pastors here in Canada that, if not solved, could result in the lack of gospel witness through the church and communities throughout Canada, and even the doors of many churches closing, as has already begun to happen. We're seeing less and less people in Canada deciding to formally give their lives to the work of the gospel in a full-time vocational way. Bible schools are closing, enrollment is down, and young people are no longer even asking the question, is God calling me to a life in vocational ministry? And what's happening is that as many in the boomer generation are retiring, there's not enough vocational ministers or missionaries to replace them. And so the Canadian church will need over 600 pastors per year over the next 12 years to replace those who will be retiring. And denominational leaders are reporting unusually large numbers of pastoral vacancies, and not only that, they're taking longer to fill them these days than they did in the past. And I can tell you, and Hannah knows this better than anyone in her role on our district leadership team that oversees our network of 200 churches here in BC, that many churches have been without a pastor for years and continue to experience decline both in influence and numbers in their community. And you know, we can even use the story of this church, right, which is in a desirable location, right? We're not in Alberta. No, sorry, no offense, Albertans. But this church had an opened advertised vacancy for 5 years, from early 2010 to 2015 when Hannah and I came. And the church declined, you know, heavily over those years to where it was down to under 50 people when we got here. And that sadly is the story of so many current churches. In an article called Waking Up to the Pastor Shortage, Rick Heimstra asked the question, why aren't more young people going into pastoral ministry? And he says, you know, declining social prestige and the cost of theological education are often mentioned. What is less often mentioned is we seldom call young people into ministry anymore. This is a cultural change. He says, evangelical traditions historically have seen calling as coming from God through his church, meaning the church has had a role. Now we tend to see your job as something you discover for yourself. So we ask our children, what do you want to be when you grow up? Rather than, what is God calling you to do in your life? And then he says this, if society doesn't suggest pastoral ministry, or we could say missions, parents don't, and churches don't, how do young people come around to discovering this call to ministry? So what can we do? Even if you're not called into this, it should at least have your attention as a believer, hopefully. What can we do? How can we ensure people experience the call of God of being compelled to preach the gospel? And how can we, here at Oceanside, be a part, at least a small part, of the solution? Well, let me suggest three things churches can do to fix the pastoral shortage or just ministry in general. Number one, we create healthy environments for future leaders to be called and sent out. Part of the reason fewer young people are going into vocational ministries is because they've watched spiritual leaders get beat up and burned out and stressed out, all for very little money, and they say, if that's ministry, I don't want that life. And it's not just that people aren't entering the ministry that's causing the shortage of spiritual leaders, but also those that do answer the call are often only lasting a few years. And part of the reason I'm here today is, as a youth, I got saved in a healthy and dynamic church where most of the pastors had been there for decades, and many of them are still there 20 years later, because it's a healthy environment. And although I knew church ministry would be hard, and I saw for sure how hard they worked, I also saw, you know, them enjoying what they did. I saw true friendships and bonds formed among staff and congregants. I saw just a calling that they enjoyed living out. And I tell people all the time, you know, this church, Oceanside is the healthiest, best church I've ever been a part of. And I mean, of course, yes, I'm kind of partial, but it's just true. You are all amazing. You treat your leaders wonderfully. I mean, there's a reason we've had a lot of success with longevity among our staff and our team here. People want to be here. They want to work here. Even staff who have had to, you know, step down due to life situations like Aaron and Christiana have then, you know, joined the church council because they just want to kind of continue to stay involved. Those are really healthy signs. And you make it hard for, I think, any staff to want to leave. And I always say, I hope God never calls us away from Oceanside. I love it here. I always brag about how blessed I am to work here, what a great staff and council and congregation we have. And so we want to bring young people up in an environment like this so that when they get older, it actually becomes an appealing consideration, or not when they get older, just now. It becomes an appealing consideration for them. So think about that as a church. Continue to help create a supportive environment that will cause future leaders to be raised up. I mean, people, especially young people, they need to see women and men joyfully giving their lives to the local church and thinking to themselves, I wonder if I might be called to do that. Second, we financially invest. And I know, you know, this is our last push of the summer today, and you feel like, well, that's a lot of talk about giving today, and I get that and I understand that. But the reality is the church I got saved in put heavy investment in its kids and youth programs, including in staffing, as well as offering programs and internships for young people to discover their calling. And we're starting to do that more as a church. And, you know, I have a vision for this place to really be a place that, you know, I know it's a humble little church, but that really impacts the ends of the earth. And I want to be a part of that. And then lastly, and maybe most importantly, we make space for people to consider and respond to God's calling. The way I got called into ministry was during, you know, corporate times of being in God's presence and being encouraged to seek God and to ask God, God, what do you want from my life? Actually asking the question. I'll do whatever you ask, God. So many times I was challenged to surrender all, right, as a young person. We need to have opportunities for that, to seek, to be able to encourage people to hear from God. And when you're supporting our kids and youth to, you know, go to camps or you're volunteering for that, you're helping make that possible. And what was key for me was not just, you know, feeling called, but then having people around me, including spiritual leaders, affirm and confirm that calling, right? Saying, you know, I sense God calling you to a life of dedicated service in this way. So we can encourage and rally around people. We need to make space for people to hear the call and say, you know what, I can't possibly do anything else with my life than live for the sake of the gospel. Nothing else will satisfy. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 9:16, I am compelled to preach the gospel. Woe to me if I do not preach the gospel. There's echoes here of Jeremiah in chapter 20, verse 9, where he says, you know, but if I say I will not mention his word or speak any more in his name, he says basically, I can't. His word is in my heart like a fire. It's shut up in my bones. I'm weary of holding it in. In fact, I just can't. Even if I want to say no, I can't. So even though it often led to trouble and difficulty, Jeremiah could not hold back the word of God. It was like a fire in his heart and bones. He was compelled to speak God's word. So we're going to do this kind of last suggestion right now. Right? We can't expect women and men to hear God's call or respond if we're not even presenting the possibility that they could be called. So I'm going to ask you to stand. I'm going to ask the band to come back up. And I'm going to ask us all just to close our eyes and kind of not get distracted. Just keep your hearts attentive here. If you want to just be interceding even for the room, you can do that. I believe when we make space for the possibility of God calling people, there will be people who say, yes, I feel the Lord calling me. I feel compelled to give my life to the gospel. I'm not talking just about young people here. That's not the entire solution to the shortage we talked about. I'm also talking about people who are maybe starting second careers, maybe changing vocations, who are maybe in their retirement years and able to give dedicated time to a calling. Maybe like our Paul, not the Apostle Paul, but our Paul, who in his retirement years is now following God's call into ministry, and like the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians, working, you know, free of charge here at the church because he doesn't want to be a financial burden, but he's given up that right. But instead of living it up in retirement, he's now giving his life to a new calling. It doesn't have to be in a formal setting where you're up here. That's not what we're talking about, although that might be the case, but just that you're called to dedicate parts of your life for the sake of the advancement of the gospel in a specific way. So this could be as a volunteer in our youth ministry, just giving your life to our young people. Could be in the care homes, in prison ministry, in the streets, both formal and informal ways. It could be serving overseas like the Wileys in Thailand, or domestically in a specific role or calling up north where pastors are desperately needed. They'll take almost anyone. Could be as small as to your own family, to the church here, to lead a life group, a certain ministry. You don't have to have any idea of what it means or what it will look like, but I'm just going to be bold and ask you in a moment to come forward if you're feeling some kind of call. Could be just for a season or more permanently, but you're wanting to explore the possibility to open up your heart to God. And no one here is going to be like, what? You? That person? And we're not going to assume we know what you're responding to. Or what kind of calling. This is a safe place where we can just explore God's calling and encourage and pray for one another. Maybe it's a calling you've put off or ignored or allowed to go dormant, and today God is bringing it back to life, rekindling the fire that was once there. We just want to provide space. Maybe you're worried about the cost of the call, even financially, but let God worry about that. So to those who are feeling, woe is me, if I don't respond to the Lord's calling, whatever that might be, we're here to encourage you. So I'm going to ask you to just go ahead and come, to be bold. We want to pray for you, encourage you. We're going to rally around you, lay hands on you in faith. We're going to believe that something supernatural will be imparted and released to you in this moment. So if that's you, you can just come on forward. I don't care if you're from out of town, whether you're 9 years old or 90 years old, you can respond. We're all in this together. We would love to pray for you and to encourage you this morning. If there's anyone sensing that call, thank you. We just want to pray for you. You don't have to have it all figured out. You don't have to know what it looks like. I know there are people in this church who have that call. But I believe God's going to impart something to you as you step out in faith. It could be years from now, could be weeks from now, months, we don't know, but we thank God for stirring, for moving on your hearts. And now for those who are up here, if we could get some of our leaders, or if you know somebody, let's lay hands on these people. We're going to pray for them. If there's somebody you know up here, could be a spouse, could be a friend, could be somebody in your life group, feel free to come forward and just lay hands on them, our prayer leaders, other people. We just want to encourage them. We're going to pray for them. I believe this is going to be a significant morning in their life. Thank you. And would you just extend your hands out to them if you're in the congregation? Lord, we are calling forth a harvest of people who will change the course of this nation toward the things of the kingdom of heaven, in big ways, in small ways, and everything in between. We pray that you would give vision to these people. Holy Spirit, we invite your leadership in their lives. We ask that you remove all distractions and set them apart for you, Lord, that you would call them out, that you would raise them up, as anointed messengers to preach the good news with boldness. Lord, let there be a spirit of prayer and intercession upon them. God, tear down every hindrance to the gospel around them. Give them dreams and visions and release a spirit of boldness and evangelism upon them, Lord. God, we pray that you would stir up a movement here in our humble little church in Oceanside that would literally touch the ends of the earth. God, let this be a missions base for people where we send them out to do your work, whether locally, internationally, across our province or our nation, Lord. But on this day, let there be a shift in the heavenly realms in this nation, a renewed passion, God, to pursue these callings for you. Lord, we entrust them into your loving care and into your loving hands. Lord, may they know they are supported here. Help us, Lord, to fan the flame of the gift that is within them, to encourage them, to support them, to do what we need to do to help them fulfill their call. Lord, I thank you for their step of faith this morning, Lord, and just opening up themselves, not even maybe knowing what it means, but simply answering your call. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's give them a hand and just encourage them. We thank you guys. Thank you for your faith. It could be that even as we're praying, God gave you a word or a picture or something that was for one of them that might encourage them. We want to be open to that. Could change the direction of their life. So be open to that. But let's sing a closing song of surrender. As I said, whether you have responded to that call or just in all of us in our daily lives are called to surrender everything to God, so that we might bring glory to God for the good of others in all that we do. So let's close by singing this, and then I'll close us out.